This episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On Sabres podcast ahead of Thursday night's meeting between the Buffalo Sabres and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Michael Hauser, homecoming. The Penguins, his hometown team. His mom lives in Pittsburgh. His mom wanted to come up, watch Michael Hauser's NHL debut for the Sabres. Was not allowed to for reasons maybe I'll talk about later in the podcast. Maybe it might be best to avoid it. But it looks like she'll get the opportunity to see her son when the Sabres play on Thursday night against the Penguins, as they still cannot get goaltending healthy as they finish off the season. They are just trying to get through it. So, little preview of Sabres and Penguins. There's not a lot to talk about to preview it. I mean, this is a late season Sabres episode. I mean, this podcast has always only been around for, well, not even a full season yet, because this is a shortened season that we've been around for now. And then last season we got, you know, thrown off in March. We got thrown off the season in March, so we haven't been around for a full season yet. And maybe next year, hopefully that happens. I can't imagine why it wouldn't. But, you know, this is what a late season episode has sounded like, because the games, I mean, you're looking for anything to be able to talk about, to be able to think about, to be able to look forward to. And even on the other side, the Penguins, I guess they are in a battle for the top of the East Division, but I'll get into it a little bit later. I'm not sure it matters where they fall in the East Division. I'll expand on that a little bit later. It's an anniversary of sorts for the Sabres. In fact, there's two anniversaries from May 5th. So you've got two Sabre anniversaries on the date of May 5th. We'll get into those as well. But I do have to start the podcast with Tom Wilson, the Washington Capitals, and the New York Rangers. There's so much in the last 36 hours since me and Jordan last recorded our last episode, because we had just recorded right before Wilson. It was like just so tough. We weren't able to hook back up and be able to give you another one that day, because it was like an hour or two before Wilson got announced that he was going to get a fine. Now, what's crazy is we thought we were going to be okay with that. We thought that, hey, like we talked about it before the episode on Tuesday's episode, we're like, okay, we're going to have some news on Wilson, but we should be good to talk about it here, because he's going to get a hearing, and maybe he even gets an in-person hearing, and that will push all of this off at least till later in the day or till even tomorrow, and we'll have, you know, we'll have a lot of time between when the episode comes out and when the Wilson news comes out. But never in my wildest dreams would I have believed that there wouldn't have been a hearing, and there would have just been a $5,000 fine handed down, and that is it. For, if you haven't seen it, I mean, you're living under a rock in the hockey world if you haven't seen what Tom Wilson did. Smashing Pavel Buchnevich's face into the ice, throwing a rabbit punch at the back of his neck, whether it hits him in the shoulder, back of the head, wherever he hits him. He's punching a guy while his face is on the ice. Then Artemi Panarin, who jumps on Wilson's back, just, you know, jumping in, trying to get him off of his teammate. Panarin gets his hair pulled, slew-footed, thrown to the ice all at the same time, legs twisted. He is out for the season. It's only three games, well, two games now, but Panarin's done for the year. And Wilson doesn't get suspended. He doesn't get suspended, not even a hearing by NHLPA head George Parros, who I think is a smart guy. I have listened to George Parros on several interviews. John Scott did an interview with him a while back. He was on Puck Soup with Greg Wyshynski a while back. He's a smart guy. He went to Princeton. You know, he's got a Princeton degree. Parros is a smart guy. He doesn't just have a great mustache. He wasn't just a goon in the NHL. Like, he's a guy that I thought when he took that job it was like, all right, I trust this guy. Like, he is intelligent, and I want to believe that he will put past him the old role of the goon, the old locker room crap that a lot of the tough guys will spew about today. He'll put all that aside, and he will realize the job that he needs to do. Well, that did not happen. It has not happened. The punishments have been, I think, better than people give them credit for. They've been stricter than people give them credit for. But, I mean, come on. This is just a black eye on that whole department, the NHL's Department of Player Safety, this situation. Because the Rangers, I mean, when you don't suspend Wilson, you leave the policing to them. Because it's clear that this needed to be answered. And the NHL for years now has tried to phase out the goon, the enforcer, that nuclear deterrent on the bench that can't really play hockey. And play hockey at the NHL level. These guys, you in beer league, in like charity events, it's insane how good they are. But for NHL purposes, they are not, they should not be in the league given their hockey skills. But they are. And when you, the NHL for years now has been, you know, with the instigator rule, especially, like, the instigator rule is what? Like, you don't need to police yourselves. Like, if this something happens, we'll take care of it. We'll suspend the guy. We'll hand down a big fine to be able to stop him from doing this in the future. So Wilson injures Panarin. He tries to injure Buchnevich. He doesn't get anything. Slap on the wrist. $5,000 fine isn't even a slap on the wrist. Like, you don't even feel it. It is half of what he makes in a period. Divvy up his salary, $4.1 million for an entire year. If you divide that by the 56-game schedule this year, then divide that by the periods of hockey, three divided by three, and he makes $24,000 per period. Actually, it's not even half. It's the fifth of what he makes. He made more money sitting in the penalty box with his 10-minute misconduct than he did from the fine. I mean, that is an absolute flat-out joke by the NHL. And credit on the Rangers. Even before the game, I think you knew what their tone was going to be. You knew that they were going to show up to this game on Wednesday night, and they were going to have to play old school hockey. They were going to have to go answer the call, answer the bell to a bully on the other team that has not been disciplined by the league. So now they've got to do the disciplining. They've got to do the policing. And you knew that was going to happen when the Rangers put out their statement on Tuesday night. So if you've missed it, I mean, it's an incredible statement. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. It made me want to be a Rangers fan for a short time, the only time in my life that's ever happened. The statement was, statement from the New York Rangers. The New York Rangers are extremely disappointed the Capitals forward Tom Wilson was not suspended for his horrifying act of violence last night at Madison Square Garden. Wilson is a repeat offender with a long history of these types of acts, and we find it shocking that the NHL and their Department of Player Safety failed to take the appropriate action and suspend him indefinitely. Wilson's dangerous and reckless actions caused an injury to Artemi Panarin that will prevent him from playing again this season. We view this as a dereliction of duty by NHL head of player safety George Parros and believe he is unfit to continue in his current role. Hell yeah, New York Rangers. Like, not taking it a step further than, you know what? Not only did you get this wrong, you got this so wrong you should be removed from your job. We're calling for you to be fired. And I, you know, another reason I love it is I think the NHL, just the guys that work there in the league offices, I mean, they're just the worst. The worst. You have two types. You have your Gary Bettmans and your Bill Daleys, who are the lawyer types, you know, that only care about the bottom line, the dollar amount. That's all they care about. And then you have the old-timey hockey guys. You have Colin Campbell. You have George Parros. You know, you have guys like that grew up watching and playing the game a certain way that really limit and prevent the league from progressing. You know, like the NBA is so progressive as a league. The NHL is probably the most conservative of the sports. And why? It's because they have these dinosaurs that are allowed to run the sport. And this statement had to just ignite those guys, right? Like make them just fuming in the league offices. And that is just, I love that. Just imagining how mad Bettman would have been, how mad Parros would have been, how mad Daly would have been, and Colin Campbell. Like that to me is a good feeling. But it seems like it came from an unlikely source. That statement, I think, came from their owner, James Dolan. James Dolan, who I actually found out today owned the New York Rangers. I probably should have knew that, but he's known for owning the New York Knicks and really doing an awful job at owning the New York Knicks. But he also does own, he owns MSG, and he owns the New York Rangers. So less than 24 hours after this statement, Rangers president of hockey operations, John Davidson, and general manager Jeff Gorton are fired. And you've got Darren Dreger out here, TSN's Darren Dreger. I mean, I couldn't believe he reported this. It's can you be more of a puppet for the teams? You had Dreger reporting that, sorry, I got distracted. I'm recording this in my basement for this episode. And there is an enormous spider. What would you consider an enormous spider? Like, I'm talking, like, not even a quarter. Like, bigger than a quarter. Like, a half dollar? Do those exist? Am I too young to know what that is? I do know what it is, so I can't imagine anyone out there is younger than me. Or too many are. So, like, a half dollar size spider? He seems to be staying put. I'm going to keep an eye on that. So, we'll see if I get distracted again, but today's episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I will be hosting rooms for Locked On Sabres once a week. Locker Room is the perfect place to join conversations about the NHL. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reaction to big news or rumors. You will have the chance to chat with me and might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Sabres podcast in our conversations. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, join the NHL group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Sneaky Joe Sports to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live this week. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Sabres. See you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Stonks, memes, rocket ships, day trading can be a lot of fun, but if you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diverse. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized for you in just minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25 advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's wealthfront.com, wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today. Jeff Gorton, John Davidson. They get fired. Darren Dreger says that it's a coincidence that they got fired right after the statement. Bull crap. There is no way that statement did not have something to do with them being fired. Because you know, the performance-based argument that, hey, they got fired because the owner's upset with the way the season has gone. If that were the case, why not wait one more week? Like, they had three games left. Why not wait one more week? It doesn't make sense. There's no reason not to wait one more week, I don't think. So, Chris Drury, we'll talk more about him in a little bit. He gets named president and general manager. He takes on both these roles, but the more reporting on Davidson and Gorton was they immediately started distancing themselves from that statement. And that, to me, sounds like what? That sounds like James Dolan, the owner, sent this statement out. He either wrote it himself, he had someone write it with that type of tone, and then he approved it. And the GM and the president were not on the same page. They were not on board with that type of thought process. They were not on board with blasting the league and blasting George Parros like that. And maybe Dolan was so upset by them distancing themselves and maybe even refusing to go out in the media and stick up for the team that he just fired him. And maybe he was thinking about it already. I think he might have been for Jeff Gorton. I do not think he would have been for John Davidson. John Davidson only got there 2 years ago. He is a respected hockey guy in the sport as you can get. I mean, he's been around for a long time. I'm not sure he's a guy that I'd want running my team because he is like one of those guys I mentioned earlier, one of those dinosaurs that thinks the sport should be run a certain way. But he's respected in the league, and he's still pretty fresh on the job. So I think that what happened here is Dolan was upset that they were not on the same page as he was, and he let him go. Because Dolan clearly thinks it's unacceptable that his team would be pushed around and bullied like they were against the Capitals on Monday night and Tom Wilson. So all of this is what leads up to the game on Wednesday night between the Rangers and the Capitals. And going in, I don't think I thought it would have been that crazy. Like, I thought what we were going to get was Wilson would line up for the opening faceoff, whoever the toughest guy in the Rangers is, which really I think is Brendan Smith when you look at the fighting majors and you look at penalty minutes on the season. Brendan Smith would fight Tom Wilson at the beginning of the game, and that would be it. They would go on, they would play the rest of the game. Maybe there would be something additional that goes on with Wilson. Maybe somebody else would try to fight him at some point. He did big hits, whatever. But I didn't think anything crazy was going to happen past that. That's kind of how these situations go. You always wait like, oh, they're after this big bad hit, it's like, well, they play again on Saturday. And then they play again on Saturday, and 85% of the time, nothing really happens. This game, I mean, it was go time. The puck dropped, and let's go. The three fights off the faceoff, you had three more fights throughout the course of the first period, and you had Pavel Buchnevich, the guy who originally had his face shoved into the ice by Tom Wilson. He cross-checks Anthony Mantha in the face. I mean, a vicious act that I think is going to land him in trouble with the Department of Player Safety, which is going to be funny because everyone's going to have the same reaction. Buchnevich is probably going to get a bigger fine, or he's going to get a suspension, and everyone's going to be pissed off about it because Wilson did not get suspended, and Buchnevich might here. So that happened too, but that game just had a playoff environment to it the whole time, and it started from the get-go in all of the fights. And you know what? Like, the reaction from everyone on Twitter, I think, was the right reaction in that the league should be ashamed of themselves for letting this situation boil to the point that it got to. But I think the league is happy with the result. You know, like, they should be ashamed of it. They should try to correct it. But that game Wednesday night, I mean, I was looking forward to it all day. I had it on. I was doing my radio show, The Nightcap, and I made sure I had it on in the background. Everybody, it seemed, in the hockey world, all hockey fans seemed to, like, they were watching that game. They wanted to see what happened. And they did get their money's worth. And I think the NHL, you know, like, it's sad, but they benefit from not suspending Tom Wilson. They suspend Tom Wilson for one game, and nobody's watching that game. It's a late season game between the Capitals, who don't have much to play for, and the Rangers, who have been eliminated from playoff contention. Who's watching that hockey game? You know, they get a they of course get a ratings boost on NBC. They get their face on SportsCenter tonight. They get talked about in all the ESPN daytime shows. Pardon the interruption. Around the Horn, I can guarantee you those shows are going to be talking about this tomorrow. Like Deadspin and Defector and Bleacher Report, like all the big sports websites are covering it. But Barstool, even, like, everyone is talking about it. Why would the NHL bat an eye? Why would they be upset with this? And really, it for me will always be with the NHL. They will pick the money over anything. They will pick it over player safety, like they have all season with COVID. They did it with the Sabres. They did it with the Canucks. They tried to do it with the Canucks. They will choose money over morality too. I think they will. This is a situation where the guy deserved to be suspended, and I don't know this, but I would hazard to guess that they didn't suspend him because they knew they had a nationally televised game between those two teams coming two nights later, and they wanted as many eyeballs on their sport as they could get, even if it meant not suspending a guy that deserved to be suspended. So I think that was a flat-out joke. We're going to take a timeout here in just a second, but I do want to throw in another news item kind of related to the Davidson-Gorton news that I mentioned. Chris Drury is now the president and general manager of the New York Rangers. I think this has been coming for a long time. He passed on the Sabres gig a couple years back. He even passed on an interview with the Sabres a couple of years back. And I think it's because Drury knew this was coming. I'm not sure the president title he knew was coming, because I think Davidson, again, he's in that position for a long time, I think, if Monday night doesn't happen, but for Tom Wilson and his team, the Rangers. But I think Drury was in line to be that team's general manager, and he has been. Why would he stick around? Even the Penguins this year, early in the season, wanted to interview Drury to come in and be their GM. I mean, the Penguins. That's not even the Sabres. Like, that's a prime job right now. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, obviously. But Drury passed on that interview, too. And I think it's because he knew the whole time he was in line to be the next general manager of the New York Rangers. So, not a surprise. It really makes sense. It should have made sense at the time, but if you didn't get it then, Drury passed on the Sabres GM job once, maybe even twice, but at least once, because I think he knew that he was going to be the GM of the New York Rangers. So, we'll see if it works for him. He's done a pretty good job, it seems, with USA Hockey. He's been a rising executive behind the scenes. Everybody wants to interview him. I'm usually pretty skeptical of former players becoming general managers, but you are getting a lot of that. I mean, how many GMs are not former players? So it's tough to find. When we come back, Drury, speaking of which, you had an anniversary on Tuesday of the Game 5 winner against the New York Rangers, 7.7 seconds to go. You had another anniversary in Sabre history that's related to Chris Drury on Wednesday, and we'll get into that when we come back. You're in the Locked on Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase.
A word for Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For these Sabre games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly two, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly two. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On. RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Welcome back to the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports on Twitter. The podcast account's at Locked On Sabres. Jordan's account's at JR Hanskin. Jordan will be joining me much more regularly in the off season. Jordan is a teacher down in North Carolina. Got that gig in the last years. Good for him. He wanted to keep doing the podcast, but had to do it on a part-time basis. But since he's a teacher, dude, lucky man. He gets to golf all summer. He's coming back home from Buffalo. So he's coming to Buffalo for the summer. He'll be doing the podcast with me once we go to 3 days a week for the off season. He's going to be golfing. So dude's a lucky man. So we got a couple of anniversaries in Sabres history. One from, I'll start with the one that I can't remember because I was only 6 years old and I can't tell you a lot about what happened. I can actually probably guarantee I was watching that game, but I watched every game growing up as a kid, so I was probably watching this game, but I can't remember it. Sabres beating the Pittsburgh Penguins Game 5 in the 2001 playoffs. This is Stu Barnes in overtime. And it's also, coincidentally, Dominic Hasek's final win with the Buffalo Sabres, and it's Dave Andrechuk's final win with the Buffalo Sabres. And, like, this roster is so funny to look at. This team is always, like, weird to me as a guy that doesn't really... It's... As a kid that didn't remember this team all that well, you've got a weird combination of guys I grew up watching that were on like the 05-06 team, like Max Afinogenov. You had guys, and Dmitry Kalinin. You had guys that had been here well before, like Dominic Hasek, who goes into the early 90s, and Dave Andrechuk returning to the team from his second stint wearing number 52, a guy that is like, when I think of Dave Andrechuk, I think of the 80s and the early 90s, but there's Dave Andrechuk in this game in 2001. And then you've got the guys in the middle that, you know, you've got Doug Gilmore too. Like Doug Gilmore just shows up in this game because he was a Saber, of course. But then you've got the Zhitniks and the Chatans and Schmelics and Warners. Like, it's a weird Saber team for me. This is the Barnes overtime goal. What I think of for this goal, as someone that, again, doesn't remember the team, I think of Gary Thorne. That's what I think of. Like, when I think of Gary Thorne in my head, like, right now, everyone's talking about how ESPN got the number one TV package for the NHL. And everyone's like, oh, is Gary Thorne coming back as the voice of the NHL for play-by-play on ESPN? And when I think of Gary Thorne, the first goal I think of is Barnes. Like, him going crazy, like, getting right to the score. Like, scores! Buffalo 3, Pittsburgh 2. Like, he is... I love his style. I've always loved Gary Thorne's style. I've always loved him doing play-by-play right after Bob Cole and Rick Jeanneret as my favorite play-by-play man, well above Doc Emmerich. I was never a big Doc Emmerich guy, or whoever the Versus guy was that does Capitals games. I forget his name. Loved Gary Thorne. I hope that he comes back. So that's really all I could give you on that goal. I know the Sabres lose the series. So it's almost funny. The goal's as memorable as it is. They lose game 6 and they lose game 7. Kasparaitis. Don't need to go into that. Don't have very positive memories of that series. But the anniversary of that Game 5 win was Wednesday. And then also Wednesday was the anniversary of Game 1. Sabres and Senators from 2006. This is maybe the best game I've ever seen in Sabre history. I mean, just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The Sabres coming back 5 times, 6 times maybe even, in that game. The late goals, you have the Sabres tying the game with a minute to go, and that with Derek Roy from Tim Connolly, and then you have Brian Smolinski in his stupid face and his stupid smile giving the Senators the lead back with 45 seconds, and then you have Tim Connolly tying the game with like 10 seconds left, and then the Sabres win it in like 10 seconds into overtime. So in like 3 minutes of gameplay, you've got 3 goals by the Sabres, 2 goals by the Senators. I mean, you got a whole game's worth of action in like 3 minutes of ice hockey. So that game is just so memorable because of how it went back and forth, especially even with it being a road game, it was that memorable. But one thing I think of for this game is, it's tough to say because there was another guy in this game that had 5 points. Derrick Roy had 5 points in this game, 2 goals and 3 assists. And he was dynamite, don't get me wrong. But I think Tim Connelly, for skaters only, had the best Sabre playoff performance in franchise history in this game. I mean, the shorthanded goal he scores in the second period, toe-dragging the Senators defenseman, chipping it by Ray Emery. I mean, it is one of the sweetest goals you've ever seen scored by a Buffalo Sabre. Just the hands on display, just unbelievable. He sets up Roy on the game-tying goal with a minute plus to go. A great pass there. Same thing. Like his hands are so quick that he gets the defenseman to commit by going to the ice, and then he kind of pulls the puck back and he gives it to Roy for an easy goal. I mean, Connelly creates that game-tying goal with a minute to go. Then when he's got to get another game-tying goal, he's going to the front of the net. He's chipping that backhand pass Emery for his second goal of the game. Huge moment for Connelly. Like, we think of the great game-tying goals from the Sabres in those playoffs. Like, I think we Drury at 7.7 seconds to go was the first one we think of because it was at home. But Connelly, I mean, that goal is enormous. It's a series changer at that point. So I think Connelly had the best playoff performance by a Sabre skater in franchise history in that game one. I think it's second among all Sabres because you've got to put Hasek's 70 save shutout first, right, against the Devils. Like, you just got to do it. A 70 save shutout. And go watch the video of all of the 70 saves on YouTube, and they're like 40 of them are unbelievable. Like, you can't even believe the saves he's making. So What a game, though. 7-6 in overtime, May 5th, 2006. It has been 15 years since that game. I mean, that is just, we're getting old. We're getting old, people. Looking at the roster from that, Max Finneganoff, my boy Max, favorite player growing up. He gets in both of these games on the anniversary. He played in the game 5 against the Penguins. He played in the game 1 against the Senators. He had an assist in that game. All right, well, there's that. And then, of course, you got Sabres and Penguins coming your way Thursday night. Michael Hauser is in line to make his third consecutive start. His mom will actually get to go to the game, so that's a cool thing. And then, if you want, real quick, just a look at the standings. It does matter for the Penguins. They are tied for first place in the East Division with the Washington Capitals. They've played one more game, so it's even more important for them if they want to finish first. I think they should want to finish first. It doesn't matter too much because I think all four of those teams, their goal differential is right there. Washington's plus 28, Pittsburgh's plus 35, Boston plus 29, New York plus 26. They're all kind of right there, but I think all four teams, even look at the betting odds, they're all right in line with each other. So it doesn't really matter to me who you play. If I were the Penguins, I would want to play the Islanders over the Bruins. So you want to get the one seed then. So that's what they're playing for at this point. And the Sabres are playing to get out of last place. I've said it repeatedly. Don't care about last place because this draft class, I don't care about picking first. But they're 4 points behind Anaheim with 2 games to go. So if they won both of those games and Anaheim lost both of theirs games, then the Sabres could conceivably get out of last place. So just another thing to watch there. And that's going to do it for today's episode. So thanks everybody for listening. Me and Jordan will rejoin you after Sabres and Penguins on Thursday night. Maybe I'll get Jordan's memories of that game one Sabres and Senators. That'll be a good thing to discuss with him. And then also we'll get his take on on fight night between the Rangers and the Capitals, because there's more to be said on that game that happened. So we'll do that too. So thanks everybody for listening. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.